Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to American Top 40. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. We're here.
That's American Hit Radio.
American Hit Radio. And I sing about, God, can you believe that?
You've been such a fan of the previously mentioned
you
show.
You think I know my own show by now. That's, you know, that really, that's what this is. This show is a product of the American Top 40, and it's been based on the Top 40, according to Billboard. And I guess the name ended up even maybe subconsciously being derived from that, but I don't think I've ever done that on the air before. Anyway, the show is now American Hit Radio, and we are here on WHBC every Tuesday at 5 p.m. We like to take a look at various segments of pop music history, sometime between 1955 and the present, and focus on what was happening at that time, pick some of our favorite songs from that era. Today, we're going to be looking at the fall of 1982, which is a pretty, as far as pop music goes, it was far from classic. Although, I mean, let's put it this way. Last time I did a show in 1982, I got a call from Jamie Trovato, who actually does a show here on WHPC called, it's based on the 80s. Oliver, what is it called? The
Essential 80s.
Essential 80s?
You're going to get everybody's show name wrong now.
I've got everybody else's name right but my own. Anyway, the last time we did a show in the 80s, we played 9 songs, and 4 of them were misses. Just to put it in perspective, we played 4 great misses.
And we're sorry.
And as we were playing, we played Let's Hang On by Barry Manilow, Tainted Love by Soft Cell is a great miss, and we got a lot of people saying, I love that song. Well, yeah, look, you're entitled, of course, that's fine. Eye of the Tiger by Survivor.
Ooh.
Not many people defended that one. Oh, and Hot in the City by Billy Idol, which was another, you know, pretty fairly obvious great miss in my book anyway. But I think we spent enough time on that program, which was about 3 or 4 months ago. It was a while ago now. But nevertheless, we picked on the 80s then sufficiently. What I'd like to do now is look at maybe the brighter aspect from that same era, which is to say, maybe we shouldn't just be looking at pop singles. We should be looking at album tracks as well. That being said, let's start.
That may cause us to have more of a redeeming nature.
Right.
If we do it that way.
Well, I think we'll hit on a couple more likable tunes as well. But let's start with a single first, since that's kind of what we do. Do you remember the Dazz Band?
Yes.
You
it's
do.
Kind of disco-y, right?
Yeah, sort of,
kind
I think.
Funk, it was like a funky, disco-y sort of stuff.
Do you remember their hit? They had a number one R&B
hit. Dance, disco, dance. That one? No.
Let It Whip?
Oh, yeah.
Then here it is. Tell me if you still like this. Here's Let It Whip by the Dazz Band.
Let's rip it, baby. Rip it all night.
My future trip.
Oh, no.
There you have it. An honest-to-goodness hit single from 1982.
Right?
A song that still sounds
pretty
good.
What's the fascination with bondage, S&M and B&D in the 80s?
I don't know. I mean, you mentioned that. It is kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, Let It Whip, and it was, of course, Whip It by Devo.
Right. And I was saying Stevie Nicks' leather and lace song.
I think with her it was a fashion statement, though, more than anything else.
Stevie.
Yeah, maybe.
By the way, if you'd like to call and make a comment, or maybe call and remind me what the name of my own program is, you're more than welcome. The phone number here at the station is 516.
Do you know what station you're on?
Just remind me. Just keep me in check. I mean, I haven't really shown up mentally today, so I'm really kind of winging it. But I do remember that the phone number here at the station is 516-572-7440.
There you go.
If you'd like to call, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much. Well, right now we're concentrating on the singles portion of 1982. We're talking about the late summer into fall. And now the Daz Band track that we just heard was actually a number five hit in 1982. It was a number one R&B hit at the time. And the funny thing is, I don't know, if for some reason, although you hear all of the R&B hits from the 60s and 70s to this day, you hear that stuff all the time.
Resampled.
But we don't hear very much from the 80s. This stuff seems to be left alone. I don't remember the last time I heard that track by the Daz Band. It's been years.
They haven't worked their way up to it yet.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's either just not old enough or what. But I'm thinking that song's going to have some legs because it's actually pretty good for its genre. Now, this next track, though, is a track by Elton John that seems to be, I don't want to say controversial, but I love it. I think it's one of his better pop songs, and a lot of people have written me over the years just to tell me how wrong they think I am. Like, are you
really
crazy? That song is, it's one of the worst Elton John songs ever. And then if it is, then I don't know why I like it. I don't know.
Is it the Garden Song?
No, but it was around the same
Lion
time.
King.
When he wrote, you know, Hey, Hey, Johnny, or, you know, the song for John Lennon. That was obviously one of the better things he had done in years.
In
and it made me pay attention to Elton John.
Uh-huh.
In ways that I hadn't for a few years, maybe going all the way back to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. So it made me interested in him again. And since I was interested, I started listening when this song came out. And the first thing that struck me was, wow, that's a really nice melody. And listen to those. The chord changes are fabulous. They're really unique and they're something different. Fabulous.
They're fantastic.
I can't remember the name of the song, but...
Oh, man.
But... I don't know. Tell me if you think that this song holds up or if you like it like me or if like all the other people who have already mentioned it to me hundreds of times by now, God, that song's horrible. Well, I'm still defending it. I still like it. Here then from 1982 is Elton John with Blue Eyes.
Blue Eyes, baby's got blue eyes. Like a deep blue sea on a blue, blue day. Blue eyes, baby's got blue eyes. When the a clear blue sky.
You know what? I'm not changing my mind. I still think that song sounds great.
Whoever told you they don't like it, they just don't like Torch songs.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a funny story. I remember one specific instance when somebody didn't like it. I had a publisher pass on my book
because of my review
on that song.
Really?
They were fair-minded about it, but after they told me that they felt that they needed that they were going to pass on the book, you know, for various reasons. He pointed out, for example, like, what makes you think that Blue Eyes by Elton John is such a good song? That song is horrible. It's just a boring, schmaltzy song. You know, it's not going to last. And you know what? I would almost, not that I would necessarily believe that this person would change his mind.
I bet you that guy's not in
his job. But, you know, here it is. This is now almost 25 years ago, right? And the song still sounds fairly decent. It sounds excellent to me, and it sounds contemporary. A lot of songs that you hear, for example, from that time, 1982,
are all synthy, and
you hear all this crazy, crummy production that is totally dated now, and it
all
sounds
MIDI
old.
Stuff.
Yeah, gated drum noises, echo, and unnecessary reverb on the vocals. I mean, two songs that were contemporary with this on the charts: Pop Music by M, and Cars by Gary Numan.
Okay,
you know, and those were like big sellers and did really well, and everybody thought that those songs were great. But I mean, they're like almost childishly electronic ditties compared to this. This thing actually, you know, this song by Elton John, it has some refreshing musical intelligence. The chord pattern is great. It's got a nice blues melody, like you said before, Heidi. It's got like jazz type changes to it, mm-hmm. and it's sophisticated for, even by Elton John standards. So I'm glad that I wrote it, and I'm glad to see that, you know, the integrity of not taking it out of the book at least means something.
Hey, this is now easier to defend than, say, Mariah Carey.
There's no doubt about that.
Hey, come on. I love Mimi, all right? Watch your mouth.
We're covering music from late summer and the fall of 1982 right now. We're essentially, for the beginning of the show, looking at pop songs, hit songs that were on the charts, and we're picking our favorites from that era. To be honest, they're beginning to become few and far between because the pop charts were becoming significantly less relevant than they were, say, just 10 years ago in 1972. At this point in 1982, the emphasis was moving drastically away from the pop charts and fairly quickly as well, which is why we're going to spend at least the second half of our show looking at some album tracks from the same era. But before we get there, let me play one more pop track from October 1982. It's actually an extraction from a great album, an album that actually generated a hit single. There's a lot of great albums in 82 that did not generate hit singles, which we'll get to. But this was one by Joe Jackson. The album was called Night and Day.
Oh, I love
this album.
It was a really nice album. A couple of, you know, really, the album worked from beginning to end, and the single did quite well, too. And in fact, the single reached number 6 after debuting in October of 1982. Here from the album Night and Day is Joe Jackson with Steppin' Out. There it is, three hit singles from 1982. First, we heard the Daz Band with Let It Whip. From there, we had moved on, and I played Blue Eyes by Elton John, and that was just, what we just heard was Joe Jackson with Steppin' Out.
Not Michael Jackson's father.
Now, now these are right. Now, this, whose name was Joe Jackson?
Yeah,
yes, exactly right. I would like to remind you that you are listening to American Hit Radio. Am I right? Somebody tune me in. Is that the name of my show?
In Garden City, New York.
On WHPC 90.3 FM.
What was American Top 40? When did you...
Casey Kasem had a program called American Top 40.
That's
for
what I thought. I thought you were
and
saying.
And Tom
that...
used to listen to it and keep notes in his little composition notebooks as a little boy, and he's got them all saved down in the basement right now.
That's why I was
really the truth. That's the truth.
That's why I was confused, because I thought you said like on air before that it was your old show, but I thought your old show was Listen Up, right?
Yes, on this station. But American Hit Radio was pretty much a billboard show that was hosted by Casey Kasem for decades. And Heidi's right; I was addicted to it, and it's definitely part of the thing that kicked me off, at least in a subconsciously getting me set on this path to be as obsessed about pop music as I am. If you want to call us here at the station, 516-572-7440 is the number. We're concentrating on music from 1982. We just covered the pop portion of the program. I'd like to move on now and cover some of the album tracks, because I think they're more relevant at this stage of time anyway. I think around 1982... much more people were listening to albums, or at least the tracks that were extracted from albums. If you went to clubs, you'd hear a couple of singles, but a lot of the time what you'd be hearing is the stuff that was being taken off of albums. So one album that came out that I was totally in awe of at the time was Pete Townshend's second solo album. Around 1980 up until 1980, I can honestly confess and say that I was not a fan of The Who.
Really?
Bizarre. But growing up, I just wasn't. And it's one of those things that I look back on it now and I think, of course I was. I loved all that stuff. Actually, I loved Who's Next. I loved Quadrophenia. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really know the entire work of the band.
Yeah.
I couldn't say I was a huge Who fan because I loved like two albums. But I didn't know a lot of the other albums. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know the Who by Numbers. I didn't even know Tommy.
Wow. Really?
That Jeez. Well until later on. What happened, I wasn't a particularly big fan of Roger Daltrey. I like to hear Townsend singing his own songs. So Townsend puts out a solo album in the early 80s. Well, the first album that he put out was called Empty Glass, and it totally rocked my world. I loved it. It still is one of my favorite albums of all time. Then he put out a second album, which was called All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes. And which is a strange
wow.
All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes.
It's and true, you know.
That's the album that came out in fall of 1982.
Okay.
And I guess it was the timing of it. At this time, I was just getting over, or a relationship was falling apart that I had been involved in for something like 5 or 6 years. And I was still fairly young, so to have a relationship that's 5 or 6 years. That at that time of my life had represented like 30% of my life. So it was like, it was fairly emotional. And Pete Townsend sounded like he was going through something similar. Something traumatic was happening. So I related to this album so intensely that it was astounding. And I still to this day, there are certain songs in this album that will make the hair on my arms stand up. There are a few of them. One song that does it quite readily still, and I think it works whether you were in my circumstances or not, happens to be the track that I want to play from that album right now, from the album.
Here we go.
All the Best Cowboys Have Chinese Eyes. Here is Pete Townsend with Slit Skirts.
I was just 34 years old, and I was still wandering in a haze. I was wondering why everyone I met seemed like they were lost in a maze. I don't know why I thought I should have some kind of divine right to the blues. It's sympathy, not tears, people need when they're the front page sad news. The incense burned away and the stench began to rise. Estranged, avoided catching each other's eyes. Girls who lost their children cursed the men who fit the coil, and men not fit for marriage took their refuge in the oil. No one respects the flame quite like the fool who's badly burned. From all this you'd imagine that there must be something learned. Yeah.
you know, I have to say that that has elicited a much stronger reaction and
than
a visceral
I ever
reaction
imagined.
Than I would have expected. We have people coming from all over the place suddenly going, oh, I love that album. And it goes to show you. We just got a call from Chris, who actually works here at the station. And he was mentioning that Nina Blackwood, the MTV DJ,
that's right, yeah.
has this listed as her all-time favorite album, which I think is interesting. Somebody came in who's a guest at the station, said the same thing, and we just a sudden flood of information.
Show. Yeah, we got to plug Chris. I think it's every Tuesday and Thursday at 9 here on WHBC.
The sports show?
Yeah, and you'll catch him sometimes on Essential 80s with Jamie.
Obviously a very well-spoken guy and very well-informed.
He's a gem.
Just had just came home today with a new child, so we should definitely send out some huge bit of congratulations
number two
to Chris
boy.
And to his family. Congratulations to all of you.
Yep.
Glad everything is A-okay. That's fabulous, and it's great news. Best of luck to all of you, and thanks for the call too. Now, that being what it is, just for what it's worth, if you aren't familiar with solo Pete Townsend, it was a great way to get into The Who. For me, because it was so emotionally compelling, those two albums. Him going through like a drinking problem. As Chris had mentioned, he wrote most of the songs on this album when he was in rehab, and it sounds it. People make their best music when they're going through trauma. I hate to say it, it's just a fact. If you're getting a divorce and you're a musician, I'm going to buy your next album.
I need to pick up a guitar.
It's just the way that it is, because people who go through really rough spots tend to find the need to express themselves artistically, and it usually results in some great music. And
sad songs say so much.
And well, that's probably why
they
I
really
love songs.
Do, and that's one example why that song didn't, because it didn't come from that place.
That's probably why a lot of like songs out there about love.
Well, for sure. But the ones that matter are the ones that really are when somebody feels the need to do it.
The jaded love song.
But love hurts.
Well, Chinese Eyes is a fabulous album, as is Empty Glass, excuse me, the album that came out before it. Both great
Broken
Pete Townsend
Glass
albums.
Broken Glass is Blondie, right?
And another one that's worth mentioning, by the way, is the album that he did with ex-member of Faces, Ronnie Lane. They did an album together, which is
brilliant.
Just absolutely gorgeous. All three of those albums are must-owns. But let's get back to 1982 and album tracks. Another band that was fairly interesting. In fact, they came up from the LA punk underground, and by 1982, they were almost mainstream, which was incredible to see that happen. Not mainstream enough to say become household names, but certainly mainstream enough to have been recognizable. I'm talking about X.
Oh, yeah.
Exene Cervenka was the lead singer. Her husband,
John Doe,
at the time was John Doe, although I think by now they might have already been in the process of divorcing, but they were still working together. I'm not exactly sure of that. But the album was called Under the Big Black Sun. It was their third album, and it was after two brilliant albums, back-to-back brilliant albums.
And don't forget Billy Zoom.
The guitar player. After their first two brilliant albums came this album on a major label, and it was equally brilliant. It was just a great record. And one song that stood out was the song that was not anything at all to do with punk. At least to me it stood out. Again, because of the emotional impact of the song. Apparently, and I don't know the inside story of this, but apparently Exene Cervenka lost a sister. Her sister had passed away. And she had written a song about the loss and about the emptiness that she felt after she was gone. And in the middle of a punk album, it just exacerbated the effect of the song, made it that much more intense. So I'd like to share the song with you. It's very emotionally, it's a moving song. From the album Under the Big Black Sun, then, here is X with a track called Come Back to Me.
Thank you.
A gorgeous, very non-punk song from a very punk band called X.
Well, don't they have a new album out, these guys? And it's more of an alt-country thing, and I think this kind of leans towards that direction.
You know, if they do, I want to know myself, because I really always liked them. The last I had anything to do with X at all was when they were playing at that festival that takes place off of the island off of Manhattan, that Irish festival. And they had reformed about 5 or 6 years ago in the 3 feet of mud. They had gotten together to play.
Well, just put on your waders and get out there.
Oh, it was incredible. I remember it was a type of situation where if you walked from stage to stage, you would literally not only lose your shoe, you might it could take you a half an hour because you'd sink up to your knee to get through the mud. It was one of these things that made me realize that I'm not really digging outdoor festivals much anymore. It's a bit much. But it was great to see X. They were great. And
I saw them twice in the 80s.
They were especially great back then. I had only seen them on video, and I loved what I had seen. They were a great band. And that song, obviously, is a very moving song. I like the fact that there's a line about how she knew it was her sister.
But from the space between the steps.
From the space in her steps, yeah. It's like, it's a good line.
Mm-hmm.
And a moving song. Well, today, I remind you that this is American at Radio, and this is WHPC, Garden City, New York, at 90.3 FM. Today, we are covering music from 1982, the fall of 1982. We started with singles from the era, and now we're looking at album tracks. If you'd like to call us and give us your opinions, you can. The number here is 516-572-7440. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, with Heidi Morales assisting me, and Mike Tejan, our engineer. And moving on to the next album track, how about Roxy Music?
How about that?
I love this band. And I can't believe that this was their last studio album. It seems impossible to believe. Roxy Music, original band, dates back to 1972, of course. They were obviously a sort of like a Bowie-esque, very glittery thing that ended up disbanding in the mid-70s.
Some of their song constructions remind me of Beatle constructions in that it's like two or three songs kind of put together into one.
Yeah, I could see that. That's definitely true in many senses. But they broke up fairly early after 5 studio albums, and I thought that was about it. But in around 1979, 1980, they decided to reform. They came back and they released the album Manifesto. And that was the album that made me, again, like the Who, like, I loved Manifesto so much that I went back and I became a huge Roxy Music fan, and I began to love all of their entire catalog.
What does Ferry do now, though?
I don't know what he's doing now.
Didn't we see him at Jones Beach last year, and it was fairly empty?
Yes, we saw him with Roxy Music, the reformed Roxy Music. Oh. It was beyond empty. It could have been a club date. They were like, at Jones Beach, there were maybe 500 people.
I've seen a couple shows like that at Jones Beach where like bands like reunite and it's supposed to be a big deal and just people will just forget about it and don't go.
I will tell you, it was one of the best shows I'd ever seen at Jones
Beach.
They were absolutely fantastic. Everybody was at the top of their game. The Roxy Music was fantastic.
And Brian Ferry looked as dapper as ever.
As ever.
For the ladies.
And every now and then you'll get Brian Ferry putting out a great solo album, but Roxy Music themselves had not put out anything or done anything new since 1982. So from their last studio album, a song that is a crime that this song was not a top 40 hit. An absolute crime. This song not only should have been...
Who are we going to arrest?
This song should have... America. I'm going to arrest
George
America.
Bush.
Come on. How could we have not gotten this song to be... Forget at least a top 40 hit. It didn't even get to the top 40. In my opinion, it should have been a number one hit. It was probably the best, most well-produced and well-constructed song of the entire year, 1982. From the album Avalon, an album that still sounds beautiful to this day, is the lead-off track by Roxy Music. Here's More Than This.
Looking sad and glowing as food.
It's from the CD Avalon by Roxy Music.
By the way, that the title track is really awesome, too.
There's a lot of great stuff
I think
there.
That should have been a number one hit.
It should have been a number one album. I mean, it's just...
It's that good.
It really is. It's a brilliant album from beginning to end. I don't think there's even a moment that is wasted on the entire record. And it's a shame to think that was 1982 and we haven't had anything new from Roxy Music since then. It's a shame. We'd like to remind you, this is American Hit Radio, and this is WHPC in Garden City, New York. I'd also like to remind you that if you would like to catch this show on the web, we archive all of our programs now at Shut Up and Listen, SHADDUPANDLISTEN.
Watch your mouth.
MICKEY, MOUSE.
Hey, you know, I have a show too. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Ultrasound Lounge.
That's right. Tomorrow I have Black Rebel Motorcycle Club on the show.
Ooh, they're
that
awesome.
That's right. That's very cool.
25-minute interview, Peter Hayes.
Very cool.
That's tomorrow at 11 p.m.
Does he threaten to kill you?
No, he was actually really laid back. He started like answering every question with, yeah, well, you know, and then he would go on for 5 minutes. It was great.
Good for him.
So every, yeah.
And you, especially.
Hey, come on. My brother actually co-hosted the interview with me, so it's lots of fun.
Sweet.
Tomorrow, 11 p.m., 90.3.
That's a good one. That's worth saving. Definitely very cool. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club on Michael's show.
That's right.
When's tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night.
Very cool.
Should be delicious. But back to American Hit Radio. All right.
Also, just to remind everybody, if you're interested, our shows are archived, as I said, at Shut Up and Listen. And you can visit our website. It's American Hit Radio or American Hit Network on the web. And you can catch an awful lot of stuff there as well. Album reviews, which people, I'm getting all sorts of, you know, I got some hate email yesterday. It was great.
No.
It was very funny.
But fellow has since rescinded.
Always wanted to get hate mail. I don't know why.
Maybe it made me laugh. It was
it's
very funny.
Fun.
I got to respond, and then the person was shocked that I responded. And this, I was, you know, like, good for you. But we actually had a correspondence. So
okay,
it's
good.
Fine. So obviously, if you do go to that website and you have comments on anything that is written there, we do respond. So there you go. That's American Hit Network.
Even hate mail.
American Hit Radio.
We will gladly fight with you.
Nah.
And Shut Up and Listen for the radio shows. Now, back to 1982, and possibly back to hate mail. speaking of, it is 1982. This is the year that rap broke wide open. I mean, wide open in a way that it actually began to appeal beyond the small enclave of fans that it had originally attracted. And there was the reason was one song in particular. I remember I did go on a drive up toward Buffalo, New York from Long Island to help somebody pick up a friend at the end of a school year. And for the very first time in my life in a club, I'm standing there. Everybody's dancing and eating buffalo wings or whatever you do in Buffalo and drinking beer.
Whatever you do in Buffalo.
And this track came on, and I was shocked at how cool I thought it was. And the fact that it was a rap song that actually got under my skin and really made me want to listen to exactly what was going down made me realize
was
that anybody
Grandmaster Flash?
Who prejudges rap is...
Wait your turn.
Anybody who prejudges rap was pretty much jumping the gun because this track had something to say.
Wow.
In fact, it was Grandmaster Flash.
Yes, I know what this is.
And it was...
White Horse?
The Message.
Oh.
Makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stage. You know they just don't care. I can't take the smell. Can't take the noise. Got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room.
soldiers in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dango. A silk aunt princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Said, Daddy, I don't wanna go to school, cause the teacher's a jerk, he must think I'm a fool. And all the kids smoke reefer, I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Cause it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart, gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. Say what? It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars, spending 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is took and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell, till one day you was found hung dead in a cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose
my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Now, as we're talking about this, that's, of course, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five with The Message. Let me ask you something, though, since I'm playing this track. Would you, I consider that to be probably one of the most influential songs, not only of, certainly of the 80s, maybe in the history of popular music. I would go that
in
far.
In terms of that R&B, hip-hop is so popular now, definitely. I mean, it definitely changed the way people were listening to music.
Right. Now, when I was writing my book, American Hit Radio, what I was trying to do, of course, was cull songs that would be the most important and relevant. And I was just so looking forward to finding songs like that to put in my book.
Mm-hmm.
That song never got even got near the top 40. And that was a single. It's not an album track. I mean, that's not what that was about.
Well, when you're changing history, you're not usually changing it from the top.
But everybody knows it. It's one of those songs that has got such relevance. I mean, no matter who, Mariah Carey was making number one every single time she put a single out. That's so right. Here's Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
She's not changing history.
What was that song? That other song that came out that was Rapper's Delight or whatever.
Rapper's Delight goes back to 1980, Sugar Hill Gang, and that was a top 40 hit, just barely. I think that made number 40 actually. It hit the top 40 for a day, or literally for a week actually. And here it is 2 years later, bringing serious social relevance to the genre.
Of course, yeah.
And yet it didn't make the charts. It was a sad sign, and it showed me how the pop charts were really weakening in terms of their relevance.
Yep.
And that's
it's
why
rigged.
We ended up, that's why we had to spend so much time with this program getting off of the pop charts to discuss 1982. Well, I had a great time discussing this. I'm glad that you helped me remember the name of my own program, being
anytime,
American Radio.
Anytime.
I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, if you want to catch this show on demand, you can find it at Shut Up and Listen on the web. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will all see you next Tuesday at 5 p.m. for another edition of American Hit Radio. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, with
Heidi Morales
and
Michael T. Jean.
It's great having you all aboard. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next Tuesday at 5. Take care now.
Adios.
Bye-bye.